Our sermon today is based on a reading, continuing from the reading that we heard from Ezekiel 4. These are verses 9 through 11. And you, Ezekiel, take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and spelt. Put them into one vessel and make bread for yourself. During the number of days that you lie on your side, 390 days, you shall eat it. The food that you eat shall be 20 shekels a day by weight. At fixed times you shall eat it, and you shall drink water by measure, 1/6 of a hin. At fixed times you shall drink. Thank you, God, for all the prophets who have been among us. So yes, we're still eating our way through the Bible. We're almost through, trust me. You're thinking of all the different foods in the Bible. Have you ever thought about how many different kinds of beans there are? Lima beans, pinto beans, fava beans, green beans, kidney beans, garbanzo beans, soybeans, mung beans, brown beans, black beans, refried beans, baked beans, beans on the scene. Which is your favorite? We can make lots of tasty dishes with beans, but bread? Making bread out of beans? That's wacky. If you tried it, we might say you bean tripping. Sorry. Bread from beans is just one more part of this puzzling story we have heard about the prophet priest Ezekiel. Now, often in the First or Old Testament, when God called a prophet and gave him a message to take to the people, that prophet was required to act out the message. Think about Jeremiah and his yoke, this prophet walking around Jerusalem, wearing it as a warning to the people of the way they would soon be taken into captivity. Ezekiel is here reenacting or pre-enacting a warning about a coming catastrophe. His preparation was elaborate. Following God's instructions, he got a brick and drew a picture of Jerusalem on it. He built battlements and battering rams and ramps and camps around the brick. It was like he was playing army on a small but strange scale. Then, even stranger, he had to lie on his left side for 390 days, a little over 13 months, to symbolize all the years of Israel's guilt. Then he had to lie on his right side for 40 days to symbolize all the years of Judah's guilt. The symbolism was in line with an ancient decree that's stated in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, "With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day." Also, you remember how the people wandered in the desert for 40 years, 1 year for each day the spies were in Canaan scouting out the land, as a punishment for their distrust and disobedience. Ezekiel must have done this symbolic slamming somewhere in public, someplace where people could see him and try to figure out what it all meant. I suspect many people were puzzled by his actions, maybe even asking outright, "What in the world are you doing, Ezekiel?" But he couldn't explain it to them because God had caused him to be mute. So it was a matter of actions speaking louder than words. Ezekiel's arm was bare, ready for action, just as God's arm was ready for action. His face was set against the city, stony, impassive, determined, unimpressed, impervious, just as God's face was set against the city, ready to render judgment on the people. If he could have spoken, Ezekiel may have said, "You people don't know beans about how to serve God and worship God. You don't know beans about what God has planned for you. But I'll spill the beans. You're all going to be has-beens." If Ezekiel had been able to speak, he would have told them a time of punishment was looming and there was nothing they could do about it. Drawing a picture of Jerusalem on the brick meant the punishment was set in stone and was inevitable. God was not going to renege or revoke this punishment for their continuous sinning. Their sin was like Sodom's sin, pride, excess of food, prosperous ease, inhospitality, and they didn't aid the poor and needy. Ezekiel could have explained all the signs he set up, but would it have made a difference to the people? God had warned them that they were a rebellious house who wouldn't listen to him. But Ezekiel's work would not be entirely in vain. God told them whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. You can be sure there were people who brushed Ezekiel's warning off, maybe even saying, "That's just that crazy Zeke. Fear-mongering as usual. Ignore him. A siege? famine, an attack, starvation. None of that's going to happen to us. We're God's chosen people. God isn't going to do anything harmful to us. Ezekiel was not responsible for making them believe him. He was not responsible for trying to relieve them. He was obeying the word from the Lord, as enigmatic and demanding as it was. Every part of his parody had a meaning. Like the iron plate, that was a symbol of the barrier that had come between the people and God. Because of their ongoing rampant sinning, an impenetrable wall of separation had sprung up between the people and God. Their connection with God was cut off. God could no longer look upon them. God is too holy to regard sin. So now God was through with them. God had put up with their wrongdoing for far too long, and now it was time for them to reap what they had sown, the beans of indifference, insolence, and dissonance. God's patience had run out with these human beings, and they were about to learn about the beans of being under siege. Somehow God put ropes around Ezekiel so that as he was lying first on one side and then on the other, he was unable to move. A sure sign of what he had foretold would definitely come to pass, and there was no escaping from this fate. Because sin ties you up and holds you down, who can set you free? Another important part of Ezekiel's prophetic duty was to prepare a strange kind of bread, yet another symbol of how dire the straits would become. Who uses beans to make bread? The recipe God gave Ezekiel started out conventionally. Wheat is the main basis of bread, of course. But then the prophet had to add other odd ingredients to the mix: barley, beans and lentils, millet and spelt. Barley makes a loaf that was regarded back then as a poor man's bread. But beans and lentils and millet and spelt are not generally used to make bread. They don't make flour when they're ground up. This symbolized how things would get worse and worse as the siege went on. The situation would get so desperate that the people would use anything to make something, anything they could eat. The mixing of wheat and barley and beans and the rest was another sort of symbol. These disparate items would be put into one vessel together, a sign that said everyone would be in these strange straits together, rich, poor, old, young. They would all be trapped in that vessel. They would all be trapped in the same siege. The people would be reduced to rationing their bread and their water, eating with fearfulness and drinking in dismay. Their ration would be 8 ounces of bread and a little over a pint of water per day, barely enough to live on. It would be a quite stark change from their current lives of ease and contentment and plenty, lives marked by ignoring God and God's will. Theirs would be a bitter, harsh punishment. But wait, did you notice something? There is a set endpoint for all this atrocity. This punishment would not last forever. This siege would not last forever. The exile would not last forever. God would not be angry at them forever. God was not going to leave Ezekiel lying there, tied up, immobile forever. In due time, in God's own time, there would be a restoration to righteousness and peace and blessing. Once the people learn the lesson God wants all of us to learn, that God is to be first and foremost in our lives, that we are to turn our backs on sin and disruption and serve God and God's people with love. Once they learned that, then they and we would no longer be bound. Then they would no longer have to strain out a living with oddball bread made out of beans. One day, the exile and the punishment would end, and they would all eat heartily and healthily again. It would not be the bread of oppression and exile and mourning, bread made out of a motley mixture of whatever they could scrape together out of desperation and deprivation, trying hard to convince themselves it was the real thing and it tasted good when it probably didn't. They would once again eat tasty bread made from wheat and not from remnants ground from the ground. It would be the bread of life, the bread that comes down from heaven itself, and on it they would feast forever. One day, our estrangement with God will end. The iron plate dividing us from God will be taken away, and we will feast with Jesus Christ, the only bread we will ever need. Like Jesus, the prophet took on people's iniquity on himself, but Ezekiel only did so symbolically. Jesus took on our iniquity fully and completely. Because of his sacrifice on the cross for our sakes, the siege engendered by our sin will end. Our lives will suddenly be worth more than a hill of beans. We'll be full of beans and full of dreams and full of gratitude to the Savior for coming down to us and feeding us and bringing us back to God. For sure, those are some cool beans. Let us pray. God, thank you for sending prophets to us to remind us of our dependence on you and to teach us about reconciliation and restoration. May all your human beings come to know you through the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.